If you didn't know that the book Miracle Man was a work of fiction, you might just believe that it was real. The book is a thriller that chronicles the story of Dr. Robert James Austin, and tonight on A Community Affair, we're joined by the author of that book, Bill Leibowitz, to discuss the book and all the work that went into writing it. Mr. Leibowitz, welcome to the program. How are you?
Very good, and thank you again, Jackson, for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of the book and the details of all that, that it entails, let's get a little background information on yourself first. What kind of work have you done that led you up to the writing of Miracle Man?
Well, I am actually a practicing lawyer, have been for a number of years, actually in the entertainment and media space. In terms of writing the book, it was something I'd wanted to do for a long time, and I put a great deal of research into various aspects of the book, researching in particular the nature of intelligence and genius, because as you know, Bobby Austin is a genius of the magnitude of about 10 times Einstein, so I wanted to learn a great deal about that subject, and then a lot of research into various science and medical aspects that come up in the book. So a few years of research into giving the book plausibility and a substantial degree, I believe, of accuracy.
Well, so what type of places did you have to look at? What kind of research did you have to do? What sort of groups, organizations, or books, whatever, did you have to research specifically to write this book?
Well, specifically on the subject of intelligence and the nature of genius and all that, I read the biographies of some of the greatest known chronicled geniuses. Some of those books were written by their parents, others by educators, so that I was able to understand how incredible intelligence is first recognized in young children and how they progress over time. And that was extremely interesting. And so a lot of the tests that I mentioned that the protagonist is put to really came from studies of these actual people in the name of fiction, because he's supposed to be much more intelligent than any of the actual geniuses who have lived. I pumped up the volume, shall we say, a little bit, but the actual tests and the nature of things he did that led to the conclusion that he was so extraordinarily intelligent, those were really based on that kind of fact. Also, I read quite a few books having to do with the psychology of superior intelligence and the pitfalls that incredibly intelligent people are subject to mentally, and a lot of that was very interesting and is once again factually reflected in the book. In terms of the medical research, that I did a lot of that, frankly, on the internet, looking up many different diseases, many different drugs, the processes of trying to cure these diseases, what cures didn't work, why they didn't work. So that was, fairly cumbersome and very helpful, because while it's not a science book, as I say, I wanted to give it plausibility and some level of accuracy so that it wasn't completely fictional.
All right. Now, obviously, without giving too much away, because this book is quite widely praised and people are going to want to read it for themselves, but without giving too much away, give us a general overview of the plot. What can people expect? What are people going to see when they sit down and read the book, Miracle Man?
Okay, what they're going to see is that this is a thriller that tells the story of Robert James Austin, who is the greatest genius in human history, once again, about 10 times Einstein's intelligence, as his life progresses, because of various things that happen to him personally, he decides to devote his intellect to one thing only, and that's finding cures for diseases. And he therefore becomes, shall we say, a modern-day superhero because he is doing, you know, wonderful things for humanity. Where the action really gets going is that his curing diseases garner him various powerful enemies. One of them are the big pharmaceutical companies who view him as their worst nightmare come true. Then there are various government agencies that are not pleased he's spending his time on disease research. They want to use him as some kind of intelligence weapon to give the United States supremacy militarily and in aerospace. Then there are other groups that oppose him, some anti-Western radicals, and an interesting subtext in the book, because he is such a psychologically complex character, he to some degree is also his own worst enemy. And so all of that creates a lot of drama and conflict and action, and there are quite a few twists and turns in the plot and a surprise ending, and that's sort of what a reader can expect, I think.
You're listening to A Community Affair. I'm WGLS Public Affairs Director Jackson Baird. Our guest on the program this evening is Bill Leibowitz, author of the book Miracle Man, a thriller which chronicles the story of Dr. Robert James Austin. So you've went over how you crafted a character that is a genius, as you said, 10 times greater than Einstein, but why exactly did you create a character like this? What was the inspiration for the main protagonist, Dr. Robert James Austin?
The main inspiration was that I wanted to create a modern-day hero who uses extraordinary abilities to do wonderful things for humanity. I wanted to create someone who was anti-celebrity and kind of an anti-hero, in that it concerns me that so much of the American media is taken up with people who have what I call meritless celebrity. They are famous sort of for being famous. And I think there's something damaging to the fabric society of that, because it used to be at one time became famous because he did great things. So I wanted to create someone who was plausible, in that it's not like he can fly through the air. He's just incredibly intelligent. And instead of using this intelligence to make a lot of money or become a celebrity, he uses it to cure diseases, and he wants no celebrity. And I just thought that was really kind of inspirational and refreshing, in contrast to so much of what we live with on a daily basis.
Earlier on, you mentioned some of the groups that are out to get Dr. Austin, such as anti-Western radicals and all that stuff. But something that caught my ear was the government groups that you chronicled in the book. Give us a rundown of some of the government groups that are out to get him, and really, were these groups based off of any real-life groups or organizations?
Well, what happens is, at a very, very young age, I mean about 3, he comes to the attention of certain government agencies. And the way that happens really is because his parents are taking him to psychologists because of certain emotional problems he has. And that ultimately leads to all kinds of testing. And it then comes to the attention of a government agency that I made up called the OSSIS, which stands for Office of Special Strategic Intelligence Services. And essentially, this fictional agency is in charge of trying to identify and then nurture and direct profound intelligence in America among children. The idea being that this is a rare natural national resource. You have to find it, you have to develop it, you have to direct it. And so he gets drawn into this program, the program is completely scientifically generated toward, ultimately, as I say, military applications in aerospace. Ultimately, he for a variety of things that happen, a lot of drama in the book, he decides to turn his back on that and go strictly for disease research. And that then puts him into conflict with the CIA, because once again, they have a plan to use his intelligence and to... They have a special long-term plan about what they want to use him for. So that is where the political intrigue aspect comes in.
So here are all these government organizations and other groups that are trying to get in Dr. Austin's way of trying to cure diseases that are plaguing humanity at this point. But it seems like a noble cause. Why exactly are these groups trying to stop him from saving lives?
Well, the biggest group that's out to stop him are the big pharmaceutical companies, because Austin believes that Big Pharma, as it's called, has no interest in actually curing diseases. They just want to create treatments that they can sell again and again. A real cure could spell the end of profits. So ultimately what happens is, as Austin begins to cure diseases, he is knocking off the cash cow drugs that some of these companies have that are very profitable, and their business is suffering mightily, and he's a young guy, and they think, well, gee whiz, he can live to be 80. When he gets through with us, we're not going to have anything to sell. So they view him in a very cold business way as a competitor who must be stopped because he is significantly devaluing their business. And that's really their motive. It's purely business motive, because if you really think about it, and as I did research on this book, in the last 5 decades, there's hardly been a disease that's actually been cured. There are a lot of treatments, a lot of them are expensive drug treatments that people have to take repetitive applications of, but in terms of crossing a disease off the list once and for all, haven't been too many, and Austin realizes that, and he's about to try to use this genius of his to change that, and they just don't like it one bit.
Our guest on the program this evening is Bill Leibowitz, author of the book Miracle Man, a fictional thriller that chronicles the story of Dr. Robert James Austin. We're talking all about the book on this episode of A Community Affair. You know, it's interesting. A lot of the books I read, especially works of fiction, usually focus around a main protagonist who is praised, who is worshipped maybe even by the public and by the world at large. They are celebrities. But in this book, in Miracle Man, Dr. Robert James Austin is an anti-celebrity. He's someone who is almost on the run at this point from the entire world, as it seems like everyone is out to get him. Why exactly did you make the main protagonist the exact opposite of what we usually see? Why did you make him someone who is almost a vigilante, who is almost a criminal in his world?
Well, Jackson, the world, by and large, in the book, loves him. They don't know him, in a sense, they don't have pictures of what he looks like, he doesn't make TV appearances, but they love his accomplishments, and he is lauded with, you know, many, many awards, and he is, in the popular culture, you know, probably one of the most beloved people that ever existed. The only ones who don't like him are those who have their own motives, because they don't like how he's using his genius, or they view him as they say, a competitor of sorts. But the public loves him. He, though, has no interest in accepting the accolades. He doesn't want to be on magazine covers or TV shows, because the way he was raised, and I don't want to give away that part of the plot, but the way he was raised was that don't squander yourself on being a celebrity, don't waste time, you know, use this precious gift you have to do good, and don't get caught up in being a celebrity. And he takes that incredibly to heart, and has no interest in all of the fluff, shall we say, that surrounds his activities. But the world itself absolutely loves him, and he's not a vigilante to the world. It's just, as I say, there are a few groups who, for their own reasons, you know, don't like him.
Is there, when it comes to Dr. Robert James Austin, seemingly an inverse correlation between intelligence and social skills? And what I mean by that is that the smarter he is or the smarter he could become, the less social skills that he would have?
I think that's exactly it, Jackson. One of the things I found out in doing a lot of my research on the nature of genius is that often tremendous intelligence becomes self-isolating, and people with extraordinary intellect can become alienated from society at large. And there are various reasons for that. And in the case of Bobby Austin, essentially, he's never had a normal life. From a very young age, he's put into special schools where he pretty much lands up studying with graduate students. So he's this little kid together with 25-year-olds. He doesn't develop social skills. He becomes shy, and a lot of people feel extremely awkward around him because they think, well, what do you say to someone that smart? And so it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling situation where he gets more and more into himself, into his own world, and then people decide that he's distant and detached when in fact he just has undeveloped social skills, and people are kind of feel awkward around him. So you're absolutely right that it's a sad consequence, and it's not only for Bobby Austin in the book, but very unfortunately for some of the great geniuses in history, that's been their lives.
So you've mentioned all sorts of pharmaceutical groups, government organizations, and rival competitors that are out to get Dr. Robert James Austin, that are trying to sabotage his work. Are there any of these individuals or groups that are actually on his side in the book, or is it 100% all of these groups, all of these individuals are against him?
Well, these particular groups are against him. You have the big pharmaceutical companies who are actively working against him. You have these government agencies who blow a little hot and cold because there reaches a point where he becomes such a world figure that he then certain aspects of the government then are looking to coddle him and protect him. So that blows a little bit, both ways. There's some radical fringe groups that, you know, are just against medical advances and all, so they are opposed to him. Those are really the ones that are opposed to him. Other than that, the only opposition he has really is the fact that he is a rather tortured soul for a variety of reasons. And, to some degree, he's his own worst enemy sometimes. But as I say, most of the world loves him, but, you know, everybody doesn't love him.
We're back on A Community Affair. I'm WGLS Public Affairs Director Jackson Baird. Today on the show, we're talking with Bill Leibowitz, who is the author of the book Miracle Man, a fictional thriller that chronicles the story of Dr. Robert James Austin. It's interesting, Bill. I mentioned at the top that if you didn't know that this was a fictional book, you might think it was real because it's a very realistic book and that chronicles very realistic issues that could be facing our world today. If someone like Robert existed in real life, could you envision the chain of events in Miracle Man actually coming true in reality?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Jackson, because I actually had one reviewer who said that they read the book and they thought it was a biography until they got like two-thirds into it. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I actually do think that if someone like Austin did exist, to a significant degree, his life could play out like this. Obviously, there certain dramatic things created, but I really do think he would encounter some of the same situations and it wouldn't really be that far flung.
So let's take a step back from the book specifically for a moment and look at your writing process in general. Now, all sorts of writers all over the world have their different processes, whether they like to write alone or in crowded areas or with the lights on, the lights off, whatever. You specifically, how did you go about writing Miracle Man? What was your creative process, writing process like?
I first sketched out certain basic plot lines, but not in tremendous detail. What I spent the most amount of time was to try to get sort of, shall we say, inside the protagonist's head and imagine what this person would be like. How would he react to things? What would he say? What would his strengths and weaknesses be? I really spent a lot of time trying to understand him as I was creating him and make him someone that people could relate to, because what I was very afraid of was, you know, I didn't want to create a character who seemed like a two-dimensional nerd, because I thought a lot of people could say, okay, great, so he's a big genius, he's doing good things, but who cares, he's boring and he's perfect and whatever. So I wanted to be sure that he was multi-dimensional and that he was flawed, because I believe someone like him would be flawed in many ways, and that people could relate to him. And one thing that I was very pleased about, both from critics and readers, is that they actually like him, because I was really afraid that he would not be likable, and if he wasn't likable, that the book would lose, you know, meaning for people. So that was a really big challenge, and I put a lot of effort into that. The other thing was trying to develop what he was doing in a way that people would find plausible, because I didn't want to just write a book where I'd say, and then he cured this disease, and then he cured that disease, and just rely on the reader to make a leap of faith, because I thought that would be unfair to the reader. So I wanted to include enough science analysis and all so the reader could go along with it and say, ah, that makes sense. Like, wow, he did it. But at the same time, not have so much science that people got bored and felt they were in school. So a lot of effort went into researching and writing that, and then, frankly, into editing it down, because I didn't want to overburden people with science that they could find boring. And so it's pared down but believable, because I just felt you had to make it believable for people so they didn't, you know, decide it was all just too much fantasy.
Although I've got a million more questions for you. Unfortunately, however, I only have time for one more, and I'll end with this. Yes. When it comes to Miracle Man, is there any sequel in the works, or even if it's not specifically with Miracle Man, any other projects that are in the mind, that are in the works, that could be coming soon?
Well, I actually am planning a sequel, and the ending of the book, which was a big surprise to most readers, really sets up a sequel, and there are going to be some very, very interesting things that happen in the sequel. So I definitely am planning that, and I'm going to carry over a fair number of the characters, but because they're already developed, it's going to be very surprise-oriented action, conflict kind of sequel. So I'm just sketching it out now, but I do hope to, you know, begin getting into writing it probably sometime in the next 6 months or so.
All right, Bill, thank you so much for joining me today. And before you go, if anyone wants to learn more about you or your work or get a copy of Miracle Man, what are some places where they can go to get that information?
Okay, well, firstly, they can go to the website miraclemanbook.com, and then they'll see a synopsis, they'll see a video, some reviews, some press, and if they want to buy the book, they can go to Amazon. It's on paperback and ebook, and also Barnes & Noble ebook and iBook, and hopefully an increasing number of bookstores. But certainly a good place to start, other than Amazon, is miraclemanbook.com, where I think they'll really get a lot of information that hopefully will whet their appetite.
All right, that's Bill Leibowitz, author of the book Miracle Man, a thriller that chronicles the story of Dr. Robert James Austin. Bill, thank you so much for joining me today. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Jackson. I really appreciate it. Take care.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.